Bob Surratt and Marianne Murciano with you. A million people or more expected to flock to Rome this weekend, many of them to the Vatican for the canonization of Popes John Paul II and John the 23rd on Sunday. And with us to talk about this, an associate professor of American Studies at the University of Notre Dame and one of the experts, one of the most accomplished scholars on issues regarding the Catholic Church in the United States. And believe me, I have a lot of questions for Kathleen Cummings.
Hi, Kathleen.
Associate professor of American Hello. Studies at the University of Notre Dame. Kathleen, I was watching television this morning, and you're on the networks a lot talking about this. And did I hear this right? They can get like 80,000 or so in that square at the Vatican, but they're expecting like a million. what's going on this weekend there? I mean, how many people will be there?
You can fit about 80,000 into that central area, but if you count the roads that go back from the square, you can fit about 250,000. There are going to be about a million people who want to be there, and many more than that who have traveled to Rome for this occasion. I was in Rome for John Paul II's beatification 3 years ago, and it was quite a carnival.
But if you're in one of those roads, you're not actually going to see anything, right? It's not like they have like the big screen monitors and everywhere.
They will. They will be broadcasting on big screens and at other places throughout the city as well, because this is going to be such a big event. But you don't actually see much at any mass in St. Peter's. If you're far back, it's kind of difficult to see. But for these pilgrims, just to be there is going to be enough.
Explain what the canonization is.
Canonization affirms that a person is in heaven with God and has been from the moment of their death. So the church is not making either of these popes a saint tomorrow. It's declaring that they have been saints since they died. So the church teaches that that any person who's in heaven is a saint, small s. Only canonized people have had that confirmed.
The news report I was watching this morning got into some of the issues on this. One was, has enough time passed before the canonization of John Paul II? And, of course, another issue is the issue of what John Paul II did or didn't do in terms of the sex scandals and in terms of the issues of homosexuality. I don't know if there were any issues about John the 23rd, but what's the other side of this? What are some of the people who are against this saying?
On the question of did he become a saint too fast, the one way to answer that is to look at his funeral in April 2005. There were people who wanted him to be declared a saint immediately. There were signs in the crowd, Santo Subito, which translates sainthood now. And that was a request to have him declared a saint automatically by acclamation, by the will of the people. And that's the way saints used to be declared before this modern process of canonization was instituted. Benedict decided not to do that and to put him through the process. And the process was followed assiduously. It was just went very fast. It's akin to in the Congregation for the Causes of the Saints, think of a stack of causes of canonization, and they took his from the bottom of the pile and put it to the top. So in the sense of many of his devotees, the canonization has taken longer than they have wanted. And I think also canonization is often a gesture to the people, people who love a particular saint. Mm-hmm. And in a sense, a lot of the impetus, the rush was coming from the people.
Mm-hmm. And could you explain what that process is?
Yes, it's a lengthy one. It's very it's painstaking in many ways. There's a very particular way to go about it. A cause has to be initiated on a local level by a group of people called the petitioners, people who want a person declared a saint. And then once a cause is open, the person is called a servant of God, and an investigation is begun into their heroic virtues, how they lived a life of holiness. once the Vatican or the Congregation for the Causes of the Saints declares that the person has indeed lived a life of virtue, the person is called venerable, and then it's time for miracles, for miracles.
And I think that's where a lot of people find this hard to understand. When you get to the part about the miracle, what miracle are we talking about? What constitutes a miracle?
Tell me if this statement does, because I have been reading about this, and one of the contributions that Pope John Paul the 23rd had was, and I'll read to you from this newspaper article, at the height of the Cuban Missile Crisis, he issued a statement calling for leadership in the cause of peace, reportedly after a call from President John F. Kennedy. That gave then-Soviet President Nikita Khrushchev the opportunity to cast himself in the role of peacemaker, and 2 days later he agreed to withdraw the missiles from Cuba.
We didn't blow ourselves up. There's a miracle.
Is that considered a miracle?
I consider it a miracle.
Well, it's a great question, and people have said the same thing about John Paul II and the fall of communism. Could that be considered one of his miracles? So here you get into the technical differences between a plain old miracle, if any can said to be plain old miracles, but an authenticated miracle. A miracle that has gone through a two-step process at the Vatican. The first is a commission of medical doctors, and they're not necessarily Catholic. They're trained doctors who are on a group called the Consulta Medica that examine a cure and determine that there's no natural explanation for that. Then the next step goes to a commission of theologians who examine whether the cure can be attributed to the saint in question. So it's a two-step. One, that a miracle has occurred, and two, that the person, the saint, is responsible. When you get into things, I mean, how would this issue go through that process? Most of the miracles that support a cause for sainthood are medical in nature, because there's a process in place to establish that. When there's things, you know, like facilitating the fall of communism or averting nuclear disaster, one would be hard-pressed to figure out how you would prove that, how you would analyze that.
And Pope John Paul II, of course, was very charismatic, a very popular figure. And what about the issues that he did not deal with? Is there much talk about that in terms of his canonization this weekend?
Absolutely. And I think that's part of what canonization is. It's a way to talk about what holiness means. Now, in terms of did his complicity, the extent of his complicity in covering up clergy sex abuse or in not doing enough, that is a question that would have been considered by something that used to be called the devil's advocate in the process of canonization. John Paul II himself changed the rules, modified the rules a bit of making saints, and made the process a bit less adversarial and streamlined the process quite a bit. But certainly that would have been examined had that position still be in place, what exactly had happened. But I think that it's important to remember canonization affirms that a person is in heaven. It does not say that they have been without sin. And the church doesn't teach that about anybody except Jesus, any human being except Jesus. I think that when it comes to clergy sex abuse, we are so far from even grasping the magnitude of the crisis and understanding it and understanding the role that John Paul II and other church leaders played in it. And I think that in a sense, we're not, because we don't understand the crisis, we're not ready to heal or move on from it. And that's something that may happen in decades, it may be centuries, before another cause for canonization, perhaps of a person that protected a child, perhaps of a victim,
right,
can provide an opportunity. Now, it might have been more prudent. Some people say, why not wait? Why not delay until we do have a better understanding? That is what happened in the case of John the 23rd's predecessor, Pius the 12th. It seems that his cause for canonization has been tabled a bit until historians find out a little more about his relationship and what he did or did not do to save many Jews from Hitler. Francis obviously decided that he felt that the benefits of outweighing of canonizing John Paul II sooner rather than later outweighed the necessity of waiting a bit.
I want to talk to you a little bit more about this. Two popes canonized together on the same day in Rome Sunday. Two popes, well, one ex-pope will be appearing. It's quite something. And I also have some questions about the new guy in the Vatican and also our cardinal here in Chicago. We'll continue with Associate Professor of American Studies at the University of Notre Dame, Kathleen Cummings, right after we do this. Let's say hello to Chris, who called in from Addison. Hi there. You know what happened, Chris?
Did I just win?
Well,
I'm hoping I just won.
You know what number caller you have to be to win, don't you?
What number caller?
I asked you first. 72 is what we're looking for.
Was I 72?
Yes, you were. You're it. You win the money.
Oh, that's awesome.
You congratulations, Chris.
$720 bucks. And what do you do?
Great.
What do you do, Chris?
I work at a resort.
Really?
What resort?
Somewhere
yeah.
We know? Where? Yeah.
I'm at Eaglewood Resort in Itasca.
Okay. Well,
cool.
Good luck in Itasca. Nice to have you on the radio here in the United States. And we'll send you the $720. And you know how this works. Steve Cochran in the morning at 720 tells you when the money clip is going to be played. And if you're like Chris and you're caller 72, after you hear the money clip, you're a winner. Hang on. We'll get the information. Thanks a lot for listening and calling,
Thank
Chris.
You so much. Thank you.
And now we get to the folks who win canonization Sunday in Rome. It's going to be, the biggest crowd in Rome since Pope John Paul's funeral. And we're talking to Kathleen Cummings from the University of Notre Dame about what's going to be happening Sunday.
Kathleen, what does all this say about our current and very popular and beloved Pope Francis now?
It says that he understands, much like John Paul II did, that canonization is a symbolic gesture. It's it has a lot of meaning for people. John Paul II, I said that he streamlined the process. He did that and canonized more saints than all of previous popes combined. This signals that Francis also knows that canonization can be a way to advance, can be used as a way to advance his vision for the church.
In what way would that be?
In bringing these two popes together, in linking them, it would have been a very different matter if tomorrow was the canonization for just John Pope Paul II, or for just John the 23rd, for that matter. These are popes that, for better or worse, have come to represent different segments within the church. John the 23rd has been more a hero to the left, and John Paul II is increasingly a hero to the right. In bringing them together and linking their causes, Pope Francis is trying to unify the church. He's affirming what he said in other ways through this highly symbolic gesture.
And you mentioned being in Rome. What was the last big event that you attended at the Vatican, Kathleen?
Most recently, I was at the October 2012 canonization of Mother Marianne Cope and Kateri Tekakwitha, the two newest American saints.
And what was the event you mentioned? Seemed like a carnival when you went there.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was John Paul II's beatification. That was 3 years ago, in 2011.
And when you
divine.
Go ahead.
It was also Divine Mercy Sunday, which Sunday is as well, and that was a feast special to John Paul II.
And when you said carnival, does that mean there are a lot of people like selling things and souvenir stands and so forth, or do they try? There's no way to just keep it all under control.
That's
is
going
there?
On in that area, regardless,
anyway.
All the time around
Certainly.
The Vatican. Yeah,
certainly. When I said, and that's true, people are selling things, but I was referring more to the festive atmosphere.
Ah.
And there was a way. The first canonization I ever went to, I could have been at a Notre Dame football game. In the sense that people were cheering, waving flags, just very exuberant and excited. There will be a lot of Polish flags. There will be a lot of Italian flags.
And people who come from other places, like from the United States, I have a friend who went. Is there any way to get a good seat or a good place to be so that you can see something or... Not
you
really.
Get
a StubHub.
You have to get there very early.
Yeah, see what you can
well,
get.
Well, no. Actually, they decided not to issue tickets for this one because it was going to be so big. So it's first come, first serve. So it depends on how early you get there.
All right. Well, we'll check the news. We'll find out if Ronnie Woo-Woo Wickers makes it to the Vatican. I can just hear him now. Thanks to you very much, Kathleen Cummings, Associate Professor of American Studies at the University of Notre Dame.
Thank you, Kathleen.
You make it interesting, entertaining, fun, and we can understand what's happening now. We appreciate that.
Thank you.
Wonderful.